There'll be more good times coming January 22nd. January 22nd. No, botch.
This is FNX. Oh,
yeah. This is Demi Bennett here.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is JXC, the social media superstar.
Hey, this is Rocky Monero.
This is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Wrestle...
Hello, Noggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Basso.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearson. You are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Belated Happy New Year, everybody. Josh Armour here. FNX.network presents WRA here on the Wrestle Radio Australia podcast network. And big thank you for joining us here in 2017. 2016 was an awesome year for the network, with Drawing Heat coming on board. Of course, you know, Axecast occasionally popping up, and as well Healing Out, which is now in its third season. The next guest on Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez will be Adam Brooks. That's a beauty of a chat. I've heard that, and it'll be out very, very soon. It is, well, it was due out a few days ago, but trust me, it will be on its way, and a very cool chat with one of our favourites and a good friend of the network in Adam Brooks. Now, right off the bat, you can vote for Wrestle Radio Australia, the entire network, in the Castaway Awards, which is the Australian Podcasting Awards. What I've got is the link posted, or pinned rather, at the top of the Wrestle Radio Australia Facebook page, so please do head on up there and click on the link. Then when you get to that page, just give us a thumbs up in the top corner. And yeah, thank you very much for voting, and thank you very much for supporting us for all this time. And if you're new to the show and new to the network, delve into the archives. Great audio with, well, just some of the recent episodes. Mr. Juicy, Tommy Hellfire, they've been on Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez, JXT as well. There was the Smashy Awards on Drawing Heat, the Alternative EPW Perth Awards, plus the Mr. Juicy episode of theirs was reissued here on the Wrestle Radio Australia Network, re-released, so you can check that out as well. Juicy's always entertaining. He's great. So, yeah, plenty of audio. We've got over 120 episodes here on the network. Also, if you have iHeartRadio installed on your smartphone, you can hear us. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia and you'll find the network right there. And yeah, all new episodes can be heard on iHeart. It's great as well because I know in Australia there's some providers, the one that I'm with included, that actually have, I guess, data-free streaming on iHeartRadio. Like, it doesn't go against your data cap for the month. So yeah, if you've got one of those plans, iHeartRadio may be the place for you to hear us. So do check it out. And a big thank you to our sponsors, WrestleMerch Printing, based in Adelaide. Hey, that's the place to go if you're a wrestler or a promoter in Australia. They've taken care of the biggest names, TM61, TMDK, the entire stable for that matter, Damian Slater, World Class Chris Basso, Josh Shooter. The names go on and on and on. They are really the go-to place. Check out the Facebook page and hit them up with a private message with just an idea of the work that you need done. You'll get a quote. You'll get friendly collaborative service from Tom, the man in charge there. And the AS Color Tees that WrestleMerch use, they are of great quality. Nice and soft yet durable. So do check them out. WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook. It's where the merch is. It's where the action is, but it's also where the merch is. So do check it out. WrestleMerch Printing, thank you very much for supporting the Wrestle Radio Australia Network. And if you are one of those folks that are new to Wrestle Radio Australia, here's a taste of what we have on offer. And I'll be back with Lord Mark Williamson to talk Pacific Fight Network, IWA, Warzone, managing, and a few controversial subjects. Yeah, good times ahead here on WRA. Thank you for checking us out. Be back in a sec. Whether you're a fan or part of the industry, Wrestle Radio Australia is here for you with four packed shows. WRA with Todd Eastman and Josh Armour. Drawing Heat with Beej and the Dude, Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter, and Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez.
My job is to get heat. My job is to make other guys. My job, hopefully, is to make people want to see other people beat me.
It's all free. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or hear us at WrestleRadioAustralia.com. Wrestle Radio Australia, it's where the action is. I am back in the saddle here with a great guest to kick off 2017 on WRA. He's a very busy man, and like myself, has moved, not just moved house like I have, but moved states. He's in Victoria now. Welcome, Lord Mark Williamson.
Thank you very much, Josh. Yeah, it'd be a big move into states. I've just touched down here in sunny Melbourne a couple of days ago, so just getting into the swing of things down here. So yeah, it's very good.
What's
a way to start the year.
What sort of brought on them? I mean, I know, of course, there's a lot going on for you as far as Warzone Wrestling is concerned, so that'd be one of the big reasons, I guess, yeah?
Getting down closer to Warzone, of course, but yeah, I mean, there's some great opportunities down here in Melbourne, a lot of great wrestling, so yeah, just getting involved with some of that, and just, you know, big change of pace as well. I've always loved Melbourne. Have been traveling here for close to 15 years now, on and off, so I've always had a bit of a love affair for the place, and now I've just decided to move down here because, yeah, I need that change and kick up the bum to do exciting new things.
Very cool. I'm feeling you there as far as the kick up the bum, because with the change of scenery, the moving house, I mean, like, the place we were in, we'd been there for so long, but it was, you know, it's one of those things where when you're paying cheap rent and it's convenient as far as transport and travel is concerned and work and all that, it, you know, it's just one of those things. And now that we've moved, I'm like, I'm inspired, you know, to actually make 2017 a fucking good year.
I think you find you get in your comfort zones with certain things.
Yeah.
I certainly, it was staying up in Sydney for a while was getting in a bit of a comfort zone. Leads into a bit of a rut. So you get into a rut creatively, get into things in your life, get into a rut, and that affects everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your creativity, it affects your thinking outside the box, energy levels, and just doing new and exciting things. So, yeah, I needed that change. And found a job down here and started a business and, yeah, moved on down. So
you're also closer to our very good friend, member of the network, Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Managed him to a few victories in Warzone, get on very well with him. Hopefully get on Healing Out. We can discuss being jerks. It'll be very good.
I reckon he's got you targeted for an episode in season 3 somewhere.
I look forward to it. We share very common beliefs and being nasty jerks to people. So share a few stories, have a few laughs.
Like two peas in a pod, you guys.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Now, one of the main reasons I wanted to get you on here, right here, right now, is because Pacific Fight Network is a little project that you're heavily involved in, and it's, you know, seeing that come up on social media, sort of a few weeks ago, the tease of Pacific Fight Network. It's something that, you know, wrestling down here really needs, as far as I'm concerned, as just my opinion, is a central place. And also MMA, I understand MMA is also, you know, sort of a product and something that is involved with Pacific Fight Network, but we really do need that central place where people can go and we can say, all right, if you want to see Aussie wrestling and MMA, the best that the country has to offer and the region for that matter, this is where you can go.
Yeah.
Like, I love that idea, but how did the idea spawn for you guys?
To tell you the truth, this is a... I tell you how the idea spawned. I previously worked in corporate high-profile security, and I was having a horrible night at work dealing with some high-profile clients. And I often work best and come creative when I've got the shits with the world. So this particular night, I was just over it, and I was watching wrestling online. I work overnight shifts, so there's a lot of downtime. I was watching wrestling online and thinking, like, you know, we do have, we have a couple of companies that have Vimeos, a very good Vimeo product as well. Why not create something where it is a whole bunch of different products and unite it and market it together, as I said, having a one central place, a network where people can, we can all help each other make money. So that's where the idea came from. So I did some investigations on various platforms and all that sort of stuff. Going through Pivot Share, there's a lot of wrestling on Pivot Share as well. That's the program that we're running the network through. Did some research and started putting it together. I just thought it was a great idea, and there's a lot of hidden gems that people haven't seen. There's a lot of great back catalogs of shows that, you know, new fans coming into wrestling, they might start watching a product and not know of a promotion's history or know of some of the great things or some of the great internationals that have come to the country and have worked with our great talent. So sort of this as a good idea to showcase it all. So and just started, got the ball rolling. And one of the good things of me being a crusty old sea dog that has been around for many years, I do know a lot of people, so you know, can pitch the idea to them, shows ways where, and I said, and doing something where, you know, a lot of people say, oh, people don't work together in wrestling, don't make money, so I'm offering a chance for us all to work together, putting on, showcasing our products together and helping each other make money.
And it's a good thing that somebody like you who's been around for... if it's not near a decade, it'd be a decade in the wrestling.
Oh, 2001, I started, so well over a decade. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So you're somebody who knows what we should be showcasing to people.
Yeah,
and a project like this needs somebody like that with your sort of mind behind it.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, that's who I'm also a fan. I have people ask me, like, why the hell do you go to wrestling shows if you're not booked on them? I like watching shows. I like seeing what else is going on. I love going to live shows. I'll go with my friends. I'll laugh at a bit of a Yahoo, but I generally enjoy watching to see what other companies are doing. I might not work for them, but I like to have a bit of a knowledge to see what sort of caliber shows they are, who's good on their shows, what works for them, what doesn't work for them. You know, I really, really enjoy studying the business. So that's... that being able to do that and see and work with so many different companies, it's given me a good opportunity to pitch this idea, and people know that I'm doing it with the best intentions.
Well, what's the response been from other people in the industry, different promotions and whatnot? Has the response that you've had yourself been positive generally towards it?
I have had... most of the people of contact very interested in it, so willing to work. I've had a few that haven't got back to me, but you know, various reasons. You know, I launched in December and people are winding down for the end of the year. So, but I have enough content on there now for, as I said, to keep going forward. Fresh content coming on the site monthly. I have enough back catalogs now of older stuff, and these are also promotions that have closed down. There's a lot of promotions where there has been some fantastic shows, and they no longer exist. So kind of tracking down promoters for those shows to see that know that they've got that show library, and you know, giving them an opportunity to keep, you know, keep their good hard work that they've done alive. And a lot of the guys' work that will just disappear when a promotion closes down, no one ever sees it. People might have DVDs of it they bought at shows from 10 years ago, but giving that opportunity for people to watch some of those older matches that were great with some of the top talent in the nation, especially when they're younger and they're starting to emerge, and when you first start seeing that glimpse of brilliance. So yeah, it's been good in that regard as well, working with like some former promoters, working with people that have access to a lot of footage who, you know, run promotions themselves. So I might not have I use for example MCW. They have a very successful business themselves, and Mikey J has, you know, he's done a lot of work for a lot of people and has put together a lot of good shows. But he'll be able to put stuff on there that's things from the past that, you know, people think are lost, and I'll be able to watch and see in their brilliance. So it's been a very positive response.
Now, you were kind enough to give us a preview sort of look at the website, and one thing I got from it is that it looks like it's going to be very easy to get around.
Very simple to operate.
Yes.
Very simple to operate. Yeah, so as I said, the beta one I've given for you, there's only, as I said, promo videos on there, which, I mean, the good thing we can do with this network is put up promo videos for free so people from overseas can, you know, if once you're visiting the network, you can see what's on offer for live shows as well as what's coming up on the network. And then, as I said, the shows, which will be part either part of the subscription service, which would be US $11 a month. Just working out the costs, but I'll give you access to most of the library, and we're also selling shows on there individually. So if you don't want to make a monthly commitment, you just want to purchase one of the shows to watch, you'll be able to do that as well.
With WWE Network, you know, having their price point that they set at $10 US, you know, that was a couple of years ago, two or three years ago when they launched that.
Yeah.
That has been a real... It's been a bit of a roadblock for people with the ideas like yourself of creating a regional or a promotional sort of streaming service, is that, oh shit, well, there's thousands of hours of Nitro and Raw on the WWE Network. How do we market this to those same people as you're getting your money's worth? How do you tackle that?
You tackle this because I said this is independent wrestling. WWE can afford, because they have the marketing reach to do that. I think a lot of independent wrestling fans that are looking for an alternative for WWE. They're looking for something else to watch.
The ones that tweet Evie, they don't want to pay, it looks like. But screw them. That's okay.
But yeah, it's going to be the same thing everywhere. You're going to have fine people that were probably going to upload them somewhere and not really support the product. But you're going to have those ones who will support the product. Who will go, you know, paying this roughly average for an Australian paying crowd would be $15 a month.
Yep.
But with that $15 a month, you'll be getting new content every month. You'll be getting new shows every month. So instead of purchasing, you know, for one promotion, you might pay $10, $15 a month buying a DVD or a digital download. You can pay $15 and have a whole bunch of different stuff each month to watch, and you're supporting independent wrestling. You're giving these guys a bit of a chance. So there is no real right way to break through to those fans. If fans aren't going to pay for it, they're not going to pay for it. But yeah, this pricing point is a way for all of us to make some money decently off it, not just putting a $10 mark and doing all this hard work for little return. Because, as I said, we're not going to have the numbers of WWE Network in the realistic world. It's not going to happen. But what we can do is build up numbers of people that watch independent wrestling. We can, we're doing a lot of work marketing this overseas as well. Like, I'm not just, my main focus actually isn't Australia. My main focus is marketing this to the UK crowd, the UK audiences, marketing to US audiences as something different from around the world they can watch. And for them, the price point's going to be much cheaper.
But that's a really cool thing that you're targeting it to those people who can see what we're all about down here.
The UK, I mean, the UK industry blew up because people started using the internet properly.
Yep.
Like, the UK industry for a while, you know, was going good, but it's booming now. And the reason it's booming now is it has captured the imagination of the British audience, but B, there's people overseas buying their shows because it is so easy to access. You could pay $10 a month and have their show, have, you know, the back catalog of their shows, like something like Progress, which also run off this Pivot Share. Pivot Share is the website, and they do a lot of streaming services. They also have their streaming service run from this. It's easy access for them. So, and that's basically what we're looking to do. Looking to make it easy access for people overseas to look in our product. I mean, at the moment, we've got more WWE wrestlers than they do kind of in the UK. We have the talent over here. Like, we have some great talent over here. And it's time for us to, like, let's show it off. No, and promotions, and I understand promotions, they've got to focus on getting their live shows. It's their bread and butter. Working on their live shows. It's a bit hard to market a live show internationally. This is where we come in. We're doing a lot of work. If your product is on a network, we're doing the work to market it internationally for you, for an international audience to see your crowd and to build new fans and people interested in your product. We're doing that legwork. And it's an exciting incentive for promoters.
It's a really good idea. I just hope that the, not only the fans, but the promotions as well, you know, they really get, stay on board with it and really see it as a positive instead of competition. You know what I mean? It's a way to bring us all together. And that's what we really need down here. You know, the best of the best in one place, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there could be, I mean, there is friendly competition on the network too, because as I said, you want to have the best quality shows. Your work is being compared to so many other people's work all in the one place now. So there will still be that bit of competition. You know, you want to have a good show. You want people to be on that on the subscription. You want to have people watching your product.
So do we have a launch date as such for?
We do have a launch date. Well. Ooh. I'm giving you an exclusive, so because we were starting to announce it this week for the launch date, but the 26th of January, Australia Day, is the launch date for Pacific Fly Network. So sort of a good day to launch it and for us to start getting all the stuff uploaded on there, which, trust me, is a very time-consuming and frustrating process at times. But it gives plenty of time for that. So, as I said, for the initial launch, there'll be some decent quality shows on there, and a variety of different stuff too.
So, if all the do-gooders out there want to rename Australia Day, maybe we can rename it Pacific Fight Network Day.
Yeah. Pacific Fight Network Day. Idea. That's it. We celebrate all cultures here.
That's right.
The only violence we're going to celebrate is the violence in the ring. Important stuff for us all. Important stuff.
And I want to talk a little bit about podcasting, because you've done some podding in your time. You've been a guest here with Todd Eastman on WRA, but also What Would Chris Benoit Do, which is now resting in peace, apparently. But
Dan Lennon might still do some podcasts with it. I'm just, you know, me being in a different state now. And we didn't do much last year anyway, so.
But it's not the same without you on there. Come on. I mean, let's be honest.
Thanks, mate.
You know, hi, Dan. I know you're going to be listening to this. You're a good egg sometimes, but you're a good egg. But, I mean, come on. People come for dubs. You know what I mean?
I do have a way with words. They're a lot of fun. As I said, I've been friends with Dan for years. And as I said, originally when we started podcasting, I actually took a bit of a break from wrestling, that, you know, said I'm retiring, that's it, I've had enough, then I come back 4 months later type thing, you know. but you know, it gave me, because I said I was still going to shows and watching, I was still catching up with people, so I said I still, you know, still love the industry and still love watching shows. So I was offered to co-host with him and just started from there. You know, there's a while we were doing one a month for a couple, I think we did one a month for about a year, and then we just started flying, you know, as we got busier, and I started kind of more focusing on performing on shows and doing that sort of stuff. They kind of dropped a bit in coming out, but yeah, so I did the last one in December with him, so very nice, and he gave me a lovely parting present of a bottle of Johnny Walker Green Label, 15-year Scotch, so yeah, geez. Very nice, very good parting present, so yeah.
That's very cool. There were a few topics on that show, that last episode with yourself that won't be brought up here on WRA. You can go hear about all that stuff that's happening up Toddy's way. Hey Todd.
Yep.
It's all happening in your neck of the woods. You can hear about that on What Would Chris Benoit Do on the final episode, and of course the Facebook group, which you know, it may have the most infamous reputation of any social media account / group page, whatever you want to call it in Australian wrestling.
I think it does.
Wrestling.
It's a funny thing. It's a thing. It keeps growing with members as well, which it
does.
And these people from overseas have joined it. It's an odd one.
Are you ready for TNA on Pop TV?
Yeah, right. Like you just get them. But yeah, it's like those people that work in marketing, and you're probably going to find a lot of Pacific Fly Network stuff pop up on random wrestling groups just to get the word out. But yeah, you know, people join those groups and always got something to sell. And then I think, you know, through the election too, there was a lot of Americans have joined the groups, and a lot of pro-Trump stuff start coming on there, and arguments about politics that had to be moderated and like kicked off because we wanted to just be about wrestling or shit wrestling, you know. No, but yeah, it's a weird social media phenomenon, I would call it.
And it will have those really timid periods of like a few weeks or a couple of weeks, and you're like, what's happened? I'm not getting any of the salacious, like, and then all of a sudden, bang, and it's on.
Boom, that's it. The minute someone does something ridiculous or crappy, it'll be on there. I mean, that was the, I mean, my good friend, I'll mention him, Sammy Russo, bless his soul, with the Mario Milano tribute show. And everyone's, the minute he leaned outside, it's coming on, and like, everyone, I've stayed out of it, of course.
You'll get your redemption on him in the ring if he accepts your challenge. Throw it out here for the public. What's the deal here? We want to make this happen.
So the challenge is that there's a promoter who has had some heated words with me and said he wanted to fight me. So I said, oh, well, if you want to fight me, let's do something decent with it. I'll fight you. I'll have a charity boxing match with you. If it's, you know, the raise some funds, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that will watch two non-athletes get into a Barney for a boxing match. But yeah, if you're up for it, well, we'll do it and waste some money. And yeah, the minute I accepted him to take on a fight, he's gone a bit timid and doesn't want to do it anymore and wants me to stay away and, you know, change his tune a bit. But offer's still there. I'd put any money raised on my behalf to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. But, yeah, let's see if more people could drum to get it happening.
Well, we all remember the classic that was Earl Hebner versus Nick Patrick. We all love when two non-wrestlers get in there. One non-wrestler. Well, let's be polite.
Well, which one are you talking about? The non-wrestler?
Oh, there it is.
Are you saying I'm the non-wrestler, or are you talking about Sammy?
Like I said,
I've had a few good matches. I've had better matches than Sammy.
And Crackerjack.
Like, I can out.
That was a classic.
Well, yeah, I say I can out wrestle him. I can out fight him. I can out talk him. I can outdo him. That's why he's a bit chicken. He's afraid I'm going to show him up. And I can understand if I was Sammy. I can really understand. But yeah, you know, if it happens, it happens. Not holding my breath. Plus, he's worked really hard over the Christmas period. I'll be honest, he's worked really hard over the Christmas period. It's really hard making all those toys with the rest of Santa's elves. So, you know, it's a tough job.
A size joke. I see what you're doing there. I get it.
Yeah, see? Because he's short.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. Get it? Yeah, well, there we go, right.
The public, maybe they can sway Sammy Psychotic Russo into having this fight. So get on the AWE or the Psychotic AWE page, annoy the hell out of him, and let's get this happening. It's for charity.
It's for a good cause.
It's for a bloody good cause. So,
exactly.
You know, it's not like the money's just going into his pocket or your pocket. This is not about the promoters. This is about doing something for a good cause here. And you know, the big climax of Williamson versus Russo, one-on-one, let's do it.
One-on-one. And guess what? I'm down in Melbourne. I can train here with Mike Altamirich, manager of Champion Boxers. I can get some good training down here. It'll be a spectacle.
Muhammad Ali Vyas will give you, you know, teach you even a few more insults. You might just be able to maybe make him submit with insults, with verbal assault. Maybe, I don't know.
That's it. You know, yeah, but, as I say, it's one of those silly things. It's funny. We all have a laugh at it, but yeah.
But if we can raise money for charity, let's make it happen. Let's do it. Hey, of course, myself being a ring announcer and a commentator at Riot City Wrestling, you've been in Riot City way, way back. I think the first RCW DVD I actually watched had you doing commentary.
Yeah, I did RCW. That was actually for a crazy time of my life. I lived in Adelaide for about 2 months.
Shit.
Yeah. So I did some RCW stuff. I did worked a few shows down in Adelaide, but it was a pretty tumultuous time in my life. So working RCW was probably the fond memories I had down there. But I had a ball with the guys. I still keep in contact, and hopefully
I hear back from them with Pacific Flight Network because they were interested just quietly in the initial email. So hopefully we can see some Night City on there, which would be really good because, I mean, they have some of the best shows in the country and have a lot of the best workers who travel through the traveling stars of our great industry usually go through Right City Wrestling as well.
Love to see that happen. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be very good. Warzone, of course, being one of the, co-owner of Warzone Wrestling, what can the Warzone fans and the folks in Victoria look out for this year?
For this year, as I said, we have an influx of new talent in Victoria. There's looking to showcase, as I said, some of the new great talent that's come through. The Vicious Pursuit Training School with Carlo Cannon does an absolute wonderful job with the students, and you're seeing them on shows. You've seen them pop up in MCW. You're seeing them pop up in Platinum, and especially Warzone last year. You're having your guys like Nick Bury, Mitch Waterman, all those guys, Cousin Ali, Cadman. Those guys are starting to come up and starting to do some good work. So yeah, more showcasing of having a good mixture of new and experienced talent at Warzone. I think that's the main focus.
It's handy for a locker room to have that variety of not just experience, but also, you know, you got the big guys there that can all learn off each other. And then you got the young guys that are there kind of in the trenches that are experiencing this together. And then you got your Carlos coming in, your Petersons, you've been in Craig Cole, and then you got your people like yourself, you know, you know the business. And so it's very good when you got that mixture of talent.
That's it. It's a mixture of talent. You know, the thing I love about backstage at Warzone Wrestling too, a lot of the younger guys, they watch the entire show, so they know what's happening on the show.
That's good.
Not to repeat. And, you know, the curse of independent wrestling where no one really watches the shows, and let's just say management don't have things planned, sometimes get a lot of the same moves, a lot of the same sort of especially from places where if you've got a promotion that's got a training school attached and everyone's kind of trained the same and there's a whole bunch of rookies on the show, you see a lot of the same stuff repeated in matches. So, and the thing I love about these guys is they're watching stuff so they can see if they see something's being done or if it's a similar spot or if it's a similar finish, they know to change it up. They go through they go through everything. It's really good, and it's really heartwarming to see, you know. So, you know, that comes down with having a good trainer as well. So if you've got a good trainer, you should get in there and watch this stuff and know what's going on, know your spot in the card. It makes the show better for the fans. And it makes the show better for them too. They're putting on better performances and stuff they can be proud of.
Well, we're on that sort of subject. What's a trend that you've trends that you've noticed? Oh, there's me knocking the boom stand. I am rusty, folks. Trends that you've noticed in wrestling as far as the working or the putting on a show, things like that, that you think maybe could be done a different way? You know, sort of bad habits around the place.
I do find, and this is some shows, and I think it's the trend of making it look too easy. I say that because it makes people think anyone can do this, if you know what I mean.
As in promoting or as in the whole package?
As in if you're watching a wrestling show and you can go to certain shows and, you know, the guys, there might be good wrestlers, but they don't have their presentation down pat.
Right.
Or it's stuff that, I don't know, it just makes it look easy. It's basically giving everyone a go type thing. And that's some trends I see. I would say one of the badder trends, but some of the better trends that are going on, as I said, production of places is going to the roof because they've realized, you know, they need to make this thing look show. Wrestling wise, there are promotions where the guys all look like athletes. Everyone looks like a wrestler, and it doesn't look easy. It looks like you have to work hard to be part of this show. So it's a double-edged thing, so I do see a lot of shows. So I see a lot of shows where you could have some good work, it's presented okay, but does make it look easy, and then people are easily invited to become part of the product. It kind of kills the crowd.
Yep.
Because then once someone's involved in the product and their family's involved, they might have an argument or something, a thing might not be going well, or they just get over it because they're either son, child, brother, sister, boyfriend, or that. Now, because they're talking about wrestling all the time, they're just sick of it. They don't want to have a fucking bar, but they don't want to go to shows anymore. I do find, in that regard, making the business be too easy to get into kind of hurts it.
No, I definitely agree with you there. And that kind of goes down to, as far as promoters, you know, that, I mentioned the name before, but we don't need to mention it again. But you get certain people that just think it's, you know, it's shits and giggles, and it's not. Like, it's, and I know that there's the side that says, okay, well, you know, give everybody a go and whatnot. But then there's the side that, you know, people like yourself and myself are on, that's, how do I put it? I guess when you grow up watching wrestling from the 80s, the 90s, and then you learn from these people about what they had to go through and all the bullshit and all the hard yards, that's where you see it as a slap in the face. And people even locally that have been doing this for, yeah, you take the Bassos, for example, at RCW, they've been going at this for 12, 13 odd years now. And they don't half-ass anything when it comes to exactly. Riot City. Anything. And even when they wrestle for another promotion, they go even harder out there because they want to represent RCW in the best light. You know what I mean? And give the promoter what they've paid for. So, I see it as a slap in the face. But then there's people that say, well, everybody should be able to give it a try. But if you're not going to put things in place so that it is a productive event, what's the point?
Well, I think it's the difference between what you call pro wrestling and what I would call cosplay wrestling. You know what I mean?
Or playing pro wrestler.
Playing pro wrestling. I call it cosplay wrestling because you try to dress up like a bit of a wrestler. You get all your friends. And look, I'll be honest, this is probably mainly a New South Wales problem because a lot of promotions that run up there that, it's, I don't know, it's not a business. It's like a hobby promotion. It's that they're not looking to expand it. They're not looking to be professional. They're looking, let's give everyone a go. We just want to do our own thing, yada, yada, yada. And it's those, because what happens is with this, they have guys work those shows and they're not taking it serious and then do half-assed performances or work these shows because the promoter's an absolute spanner and they can get away with murder and they can do what they want. Like, let's wear each other's wrestling gear, or let's goof about, it'd be fun and the fans will dig. It's not fun, it's kind of embarrassing, and then you're embarrassing yourself. Yeah. So you can go work for a good promotion, do really good work, and then go work for an utter shitnacker promotion and be a nuffy on it just because the promoter's letting get away for everything, and it's bringing your work and your work ethic down.
Yeah.
That's a trend I see in New South Wales, not so much in Melbourne, not so much in Victoria, but I don't live there anymore, so it's not really a bother for me.
who gives a toss, right? As far as Dubs is concerned.
I'm like, best of luck to you, fellas.
Well, those promotions won't be on Pacific Fight Network, will they? That's, I think we can guarantee that.
Not at all. I mean, but they wouldn't have a video product to give me anyway.
Yeah.
And I can, but as I said, and the way that it's broken up with the cost of the subscription and all that sort of stuff, no one watches your stuff. You're not going to get paid. It's all on people watching it. So if you've got a bad product and you want to present your bad product, I've got I could show it to you, but if no one watches it, you're not
going to
get any money.
Oh, man, that fateful night where everybody was huddled around Facebook, I tell you what, It was something. Yeah. Even the missus was embarrassed for me to be actually involved in professional wrestling in any sort of way. Yeah. She was having a look and I'm like, oh, jeez, Christ. But, you know, that's
side
of the coin.
Thing. But here's the thing as well. That sort of show, everyone knew there was going to be a train wreck from the very start of it.
Mm.
So fans aren't stupid. They don't even think it's pro wrestling. They're going to see this lunatic talk for an hour on a live feed to do a promo for his promotion he's running for an hour. No one's going to take that seriously. No one's going to think it's pro wrestling. They're going to go, this is going to be a car wreck. Let's have a geezer to see how bad it is. Oh, my God, it's worse than we actually thought it was going to be. So I don't think that really affects pro wrestling at all. Because the really shit stuff, people know it's not pro wrestling.
That's it.
And they're usually so shit that only have like 20 people at a show that are friends or family of the wrestlers. There'd be actually no one from the, if you've got a crap poster, if you go to your Facebook and you've got a lunatic who doesn't look like a wrestler talking for an hour about how great his show is and about blood, sweat and tears and then doing angles with some guys like, oh, they look a bit big, but I don't think they look like athletes. Fans pick up on that. So I don't think stuff like that. All it does is create a good laugh and bring the community together as we can all collectively like, ha, 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 glad that's not us and what a dickhead.
Oh, it was a bloody good laugh. After you got over the initial anger, then it did actually become quite entertaining, yeah. But for the wrong reasons, I suppose. So
yeah, I only saw parts of the show because I was at work that night.
Right. You know,
but the parts I saw were just like, God damn, what are you guys doing? Squelchy ring, having stuff outside and filming it, that's just a bit, yeah. But this is the guy who, like, what were you to expect? This is the guy who cut an hour promo for his show every week for 4 weeks leading up to his event. What do people expect?
You and Erica Reed, you know, sort of cut your nice little 1 to 3 minute promos with fantastic lighting and really cool dialogue and the camera angles and weird sort of shots that get you roped in. Who needs that? Who needs that? I mean, come on, please.
That's the fun part of wrestling. I love is the being creative and thinking outside the box and being inspired by other guys of the country. Like, as I said, I'd put Preston and Payne down as guys like, oh, wow, and Crackerjack, you know. Crackerjack's one of the best in the country creatively, his mind. So when I see those guys do stuff, I'm like, oh, well, I need to really pick up my game because, like, I love being creative. And doing stuff, as I said, it's trying to think of different stuff to make it cool and show a bit of character that hopefully attracts someone to be interested in watching it. Instead of just, I'm wrestler number one, this is wrestler number two, and we're wrestling. Like, if you've got something interesting and draws people to watching, to be interested to watch a match, and they're seeing how this particular character acts in a fight or in a professional bout, that's the thing that brings the interest, and then the work speaks for itself. So,
no, it's bloody good stuff that you guys have been doing. And also IWA, I really want to touch on this because, I mean, I really admire IWA for doing something like being ballsy and going, you know what, let's do like 7 shows in a week,
yeah,
back to back in different towns. I mean, that is pretty freaking awesome when you sit back and think about it for an indie company here in Australia to say, look, let's do this.
That's it. Well, they've been doing biggish tours for a while. And this is the thing about IWA, they never really believed. I'm going back when, you know, the internet started, and they've never believed the internet would be any value to them. So they never really used it, but they've been doing crazy tours like that for 18 years.
Wow.
They've toured to New Caledonia. They've done a lot of stuff people don't even know about, but they've toured. I mean, one of their first shows was at the Sydney Royal Easter Show, which is a massive deal in New South Wales. That was their first show where they had thousands of people watching it. They've done tours out. I mean, we did a tour last year where a couple of shows out west, you know, Dubbo out that way, Dubbo and Forbes out west in New South Wales, where it's, you know, regional towns where they don't get anything. So you usually go to those, you know, if it's a smaller town, you get it usually on those tours, you get a few small shows,
And then some live shows. Like for that Summer Meltdown tour, I only did the first two shows of the tour. Just because, you know, I had to go back and say my farewell to family and all that sort of stuff before I moved to Melbourne. But, you know, we had a smaller show in a smaller town the first night. And the second night, we had around 300 people in a small regional town watching a show, loving adults, kids, because they don't get that entertainment out in those places. So when you do get a wrestling show, they're in for it for a great time. The adults are into it. They'll yell and heckle and get involved. The kids are all into it. They're really fun shows to work. And very different shows to working. They're very different style to work than your usual shows. So usually heads of promotion will have their home base and their home fans who come watch it and know everything. Working these shows, you need to get over from scratch. Yeah. No one knows who the hell you are. So you've got to work hard to get that crowd, to have that instant connection with that crowd, to identify whose face, whose keel.
And that's a hell of a learning experience for, especially for young guys that are on this, you know, like young guys like Kasai, like Mehmet, like Paris De Silva, these young guys out there that now can, because like, I mean, I've done those shows, even just, I mean, a ring announcer, but you know, I take pride in hyping that crowd and getting them, revved up before the first wrestler does his entrance. I'm so keen on that. And when you do one of those shows in a regional area, an hour out of Adelaide, and you might have half a dozen folks that have made the drive that are regulars to come and see you, but the other 150-odd people, they've probably never seen live wrestling before. So, it's so
they're
tough.
They're doing this for a night out. They're doing it for a night out of entertainment. I love it. I really enjoy. Silly thing to say, Aussie wrestler, because no one really knows who you are. But I really enjoy working a crowd where there's like not regular fans, and it's a thing from scratch. And it's I think it's a good test to your work that if you can go out there and automatically get that reaction, and you don't need a big storyline, you don't need an angle to get over. You get over because it's your character, it's your presence, it's everything like that. You need to have your package 100% so people can automatically identify with you. And there's something really good to it and exciting. So, yeah.
Are there enough managers in Australian wrestling at the moment?
There are enough managers? That's a tough one, mate, because I think so. Well, I mean, you got Todd now off in Queensland, which is good because they used to have Donnie St. Michael was a manager up there for a while. He was very good. So it's good to have them. Like, there's, as I said, wrestling is something for everyone. And I think as a manager, it's a different sort of work. And I'd say it's harder for your spot. So what you're doing in the ring, it's easy. Like, it's nothing what the wrestlers are doing. But your spot, it's harder for you to keep your spot because you need to show to a promoter and a booker why you're worth that amount to have you on the show, and you're not bumping, you know, an athlete. You need to do something special to have that spot.
Yep.
As I said, it's a different sort of work. It's a different sort of hard work. For me to say, oh, it's a hard work what I'm doing and woe is me compared to what the wrestlers do, they do a different sort of thing. I do a different sort of thing. So, yeah. But, you know, if you're a good manager, a good hand at talking, and you know the business, you can always get a spot.
I mean, it's something I spoke to Nick Savage about here on the show on the episode Sex Ref with Elliot Sexton as well. So, folks, go back and check that one out. That was a lot of fun. But we really got in depth with Nick about what it's sort of like being a non-wrestler, you know, sort of a performer that's not in the ring, and you know, you don't get the bookings that say a wrestler would, because they're the name, they're the draw, whereas we're a peripheral addition to the to the production. And that's what sort of it you know, you'd like to sort of go into state and do things, but then it's a matter of, well, I'm only a ring announcer, I can't blame a promoter for not paying flights and all this sort of stuff to a ring announcer. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a draw. And that is perfectly reasonable. I get that. But you're doing something right where you can have these promotions interstate going, let's book Dubs and pair him with this guy because it will help him. Like, that's a as far as I'm concerned, that means that you're doing something bloody right and also acting professionally in a way backstage to the point where people want to have you around. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's one of the good things, like, you know, having some experience as well. So being an experienced performer and, like, from my background, I can do things that, for me, my philosophy with, like, a professional wrestling show is it is very similar to an acting or a theatre show. You're watching, like, a live you're watching a live stage performance of what a fight night is. So I can bring in things, as I said, I can rely on a lot of the acting training I've got when I manage. I can do on some of the techniques that I've trained in and I can use in my performance that adds a bit more realism to the show, adds a bit of that interaction, the fact that, you know, I can get a bunch of people on the scene and get my head kicked in. I'm a genuinely really nice guy. So then I get a bunch of people making noise and therefore putting over what a promoter or booker wants. So they want to get a storyline over with a guy who might need a bit of a push to be, you know, if I'm working with a guy who can't talk, it's that bit of that push being his mouthpiece. Or there's a lot of the times I work with people who can talk and he can cut great promos, sometimes better promos than me, but it's that team thing of being putting that package together for the character and being able to portray something like that. So I think it's worked in a good regard. And yeah, thank you for the compliment, by the way. It's pretty cool.
No worries.
It's a bit of an experience thing. So, and don't get me, a lot of the time, like me being a manager, I started early. I didn't know what I was doing when I first started. So
it's that thing when you start managing it, so that thing of like, okay, where do I interfere? And it's like, you know, Todd's mentioned it on the show many a time where it's like, you interfere when you bloody well need to.
Yeah. Well, it's, here's the thing, working out matches as well with people sometimes. Sometimes I'll let the wrestlers work out, and if you guys want to need me, I'll jump in where you need me and let them work it out. But there's some people I know working with, a lot of time when I'm working with Erica Reed and Harley Wonderland, I'll actually be involved in help planning the match with them. So I can shoot ideas because I've been around a lot. I kind of know what I'm talking about, and I can do that interjection where it's a natural use thing. It's defined sometimes with using a manager and all that sort of stuff. It can be a bit contrived. Like, here's a bit where you pull the leg and here's a bit this there. And that's a style I don't enjoy working. I enjoy... everything has to have a reason, you know? It's not just a trip for the sake of a trip.
Yep. It
has to be a part of the match where I think my guy's on a wing, or if I'm being a jerk, I just want to trip and be an asshole. So it's being able to work out those things, and yeah, it's a big process.
And happy birthday to Harley Wonderland for the other day as well, if she's listening.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. She's seriously one of my favourite people to work with.
How many do you manage at the moment? How many people is it? It's a bloody... it must be nearing a dozen or something. I don't know. When you think about it.
Oh, no, actually, no, not really at the moment. At the moment, I manage Tyson Gibbs at the North Coast Tour. I've worked with Tyson Gibbs a lot in the past.
He's bloody good, isn't he?
He's real good, really good. Doesn't have... because he's been in New South Wales a lot and worked pretty much for IWA.
Yep.
So a lot of his work hasn't been seen.
I mentioned this on the show with Mehmet a while ago where we made the comparison against someone else, and it was that thing of like, because he's been on the show here before as well. Listen to that one, folks.
Yeah.
King Tyson Gibbs. That was a great fun chat as well. And he's one of those guys that is so talented, but if you're not in Sydney, you probably don't know who he is, and it's a damn shame.
Tyson Gibbs, I would say he'd match the night with Sid Parker at Fighting Spirit.
Right.
They tore the place down. Absolutely tore the place down. It was an intense match. It sold a story. And I can't wait for people to start watching that. Available on Pacific Fight Network January 26th, the cheap plug.
Hey.
There we go. But yeah, so, but you know, he's moving down to Melbourne in February.
Oh, wow. Cool.
There's a match at,
there's a mass exodus of people leaving Sydney because it's a shithole. So, but yeah, he's looking to, as I said, kind of reestablish himself and going from somewhere that's, you know, in Sydney where he's the top dog in IWA and basically starting from the bottom somewhere and showing he has the ability and can keep up with people. So it'd be a good, exciting test for him, something new. More people see him. And get back to your question, Erica
yes,
Reed.
The list. Erica Reed.
I get sidetracked easy. So do I.
Tangents. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, work with Erica Reed. Do a lot of work with her. I've taken her under my wing. So I've been teaching her the ways of being a heel. So as where she, it's a funny thing. She works super babyface at MCW, IWA, crazy heel. So it's a good learning experience for her, where she's working to be this plucky miracle girl baby face down in Melbourne, and then in other shows she can be a sadistic bitch.
And character wise, she pulls them both off convincingly.
Oh, very much so, very much so. So yeah, I mean she's a great young talent. Now, she's only been like wrestling a bit over a year now.
Wow.
So, as I said, very, very talented, has heaps of potential, and once she gets going, unstoppable. So, manage her in Warzone. I have a heely-peely mixed match of managing random people. So, it's good. I've had an opportunity to work with Cousin Art, like some of the younger guys, like Cousin Ali, Cadman. I've managed Ali Baez. Slade Mercer, who I love managing Slade. He managed him when he first came to Australia.
He's a good dude.
I was booking. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, one of the good guys. So, I've had the opportunity in Melbourne managing a lot of different people. And as I said, you know, going forward to this year, I'm hopefully get a chance to manage a whole bunch more. So, yeah.
No, it's an impressive sort of list of folks that you've sort of had under your wing. It's
but yeah, in the past, managed so many people. So many people, mate. Too many. I should make a list, but yeah.
All right, I'm going to do a quick word association game here with you, and then we're going to get into some final plugs and remind people when Pacific Fight Network debuts. Mark Mercedes.
Mark Mercedes, promoter. Promoter.
He is a promoter, yes.
But like he's a guy, he's made probably most money from wrestling. One of the guys who's made more money from wrestling than anyone else in the country.
I think promoter, like
promoter,
emphasis.
Promoter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Former guest here on WRA and one of my favourite people at the moment in the biz, Mehmet. Turkish Delight.
Potential. His potential, and he needs to constantly work on it. He has a great character, and he has talent and a natural thrive for the business, but he needs to keep working on it to become better and not rest on laurels. And I think he will do that too, which is that's just a constant reminder to him to keep learning and keep getting better. So potential is my word association for him.
Alex Titan,
man, outside the box. And he's someone who actually has reinvigorated a spark in me, because he works so hard behind the scenes to make wrestling really good and to make it to give it a professional outlook and for different ways. And he works so hard behind the scenes at IWA, putting his heart and soul in it. He's helping out Pacific Fight Network as well, because it's something he believes in. It's he wants the business to thrive. He wants it to be good. So, yeah, I'm surprised he's one of the guys. When I was going through last year, and I told him at the end of the year, I said, you're one of the guys that's like kind of inspired me to work harder in wrestling this year and to think of different ideas and to show, yeah, we're fucking good and we should work hard and present ourselves in that manner and to be commended for our good work and show as many people as possible. He's been one of those guys who has sparked me. So, yeah, extremely thankful.
And a good friend of the network as well. He's always keen for, you know, helping us reach more people.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing. Yeah. So, hello, yeah. Alex. I know you'll be all over this one.
Yeah.
He will be a Harley Wonderland. Actually, no, we've talked about Harley, so
yeah.
I'm going to go to Savannah Summers.
Savannah Summers. First Lady of RCW. There we go. I honestly haven't had to, like, we work same shows, so I honestly haven't that much to do with her. Had a bit of chat back every now and then, but yeah, there we go.
Maybe she'll end up in Warzone in 2017. You never know. You never know.
Never know.
Let's go with let's go with Chris Basso.
Oh, legend! Absolute legend, Chris Basso. All the time in the world for that guy. he was one of the, when I was in LA, he was one of the really cool guys there. So, anytime I see him, I always have a really good chat. So, yeah, I really like him.
Good egg. And finally...
Double yoga.
Double yoga. I haven't had a double yoga in ages, just quietly.
I know. It's all these bloody factory eggs and the free-range ones. Oh. Just rubbish too. No double yokas.
I seriously haven't had a double yoga for at least 5 or 6 years. And one of these days, follow me on Instagram at JoshJDArmour, because the day I get a double yoga, everybody's going to bloody know about it, I tell you.
Yeah.
I eat enough eggs, damn it. Help me out here, chickens. Come on. Give me a break. God damn. Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Asset. He's an asset to have. Absolute asset. Has plenty of experience in the ring. Has experience out the ring. Able to put ideas for. Able to help people with their craft and their work. A wealth of knowledge. Utter asset.
And finally, Benny English.
Benny English. Oh, mate, he's really good, like exceptionally good. He's almost as good as I am. He's almost as good as I am. And he knows that. He knows deep down inside he's almost as good as I am. He sits in a room away from a wall from me, can't hear what I'm saying. But yeah, he's almost as good as I am.
Well, he does have the accent. You know,
so. He does, and he is what he says he is. He's Benny English. He's an English Benny. He's the most English of Bennies I've ever met. Way more English than Benny Hill. Way more English. More chases as well. There's more of those slide chases. Yeah.
Well, for the record, he on the Was it on the old Wrestle Radio Australia feed? I think it was. And then we re-released the Benny English chat that we had in 2014. Yeah. But he followed in, originally when that was on, he followed Rove McManus, like the week after. And so here's him thinking like, oh, geez, you're great. You know, like, you know, sort of you put me on hold for Rove McManus. I actually probably liked that episode better than the chat with Rove. Because it was just a really cool conversation. Like, it was just sort of a really cool chat where you're like, fuck, I could have talked to that bloke for another couple of hours. You know, it was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it was just that thing where he's all worried about, like, oh, shit, I'm following Rove. No, it was a bloody good show. That was a good show.
Always up for a good chat. Always up for a good chat. Whether they can be used for podcasts at times, but always up for a good chat.
Good times. And there'll be more good times coming January 22nd. January 22nd. No, retake that. Botch. That's one for you, Matthew, if you've got a podcast edition. January 26th. That's the date that we want, where Pacific Fight Network is going to be kicking off.
Look up Pacific Fly Network on Facebook. We'll be doing a lot of announcements through the next couple of weeks with some of the partner promotions we're working with. I also, I'd say here as well, we have an international flavor on the Pacific Fly Network as well. So we do have, we're getting some wrestling from New Zealand off some of the top promotions there, for Singapore and Malaysia as well.
Cool.
It's going to be like, as I said, it's not, and it won't just be an Australian service. So, it'd be a good way of seeing some other products from over the ditch and, in Pacific region. And I would like,
I can't 100% confirm this, but I'm pretty excited about it. But there's a couple of huge shows that have been filmed in this country that have not seen the light of air that will probably be appearing on Pacific Fight Network too. We're just finalizing details with it, so I won't get into too much. But some mega superstars will be involved on the network too, which will be great. And first time a lot of people will be able to see some of these classic shows. So involving literally the best in the world. So very excited.
Very, very cool. Nice little tease very there. Cool. And yeah,
nice,
keep an eye.
Bit of sizzle for you.
Mate, sizzle. It's sizzle. There's Traction. Yep. Gary Traction approves. Oh, yep. Mate, you have no idea. But yep. January 26th, that's going to be a bumper day. I'll be subscribing right off the bat. I can't wait because it's something that, like I said earlier, you know, we need that focus on our region, and we see the success, you know, of the streaming products and even DVD sales of promotions overseas, and we deserve a piece of that pie. We really do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what you're doing, the work that you're putting in, and Alex and the whole crew, I think should really be commended, because as with IWA and their tours up the coast, you know, and saying, bugger it, we're going to do this. It's a ballsy thing that I think a lot of people, and I've spoken actually to a couple of folks who are fans, who've had a bit of involvement in promotions, helping out, whatnot, and they've thought, oh, geez, you know, it'd be cool to sort of start something like Pacific Fight Network, but it's yeah. taken that initiative to go, no, let's do it. Let's do it.
That's it. So, guys, you know, so people do a lot of hard work in this business, and as I said, it's a lot of the time it's very thankless. So, if we can get that out there, and you know, if it helps guys get bookings overseas, it helps promotions make more money so they can put on bigger shows. I just see it as a total positive, yeah. And it's that something needs to be done. And you know, you can either complain about the business, or whinge about it, or do something to improve it. So, this is me, my years of experience, trying my hardest to improve it and make it better for when I, you know, when I leave, better for other generations, you know? So, yeah.
Grizzled old vets aren't always grizzled, folks. See?
That's it.
There is a bit of sunshine, you know, coming yep. through that window. It's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man, I'm a big filthy hippie. So, yeah, I believe in sharing and caring, you know what I mean? So
peace, man. Good vibes, brother.
That's it.
Well, let's get some final plugs out there, the social medias and all that sort of stuff, and your upcoming appearances where people can actually see you doing their thing and maybe cop an earful of abuse from Lord Mark Williamson.
An earful of abuse? Yes, certainly. Well, that's the big one, of course, January 26th. Let me just get my thing off my phone for the Warzone date, because I know the date. I've forgotten the actual...
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Moving states, you know, Pacific Fight Network.
Yeah, getting all that sort of stuff. I think it's February 25th, I think. It's one of the last week of February. Go to the Warzone Facebook would be best, I suggest. That's a bug. Go to Warzone Facebook. Go to Lord Mark Williamson on Facebook as well. You'll find it at Facebook/LordMarkWilliamson. Have my appearances. And there could be someone I cannot confirm but appearing sooner than at Warzone. So a bit of sizzle for that too, but can't really confirm things until it's all finalised there. But I'm slightly excited.
He's excited.
I'm excited. I'm not an easily excitable person. So yeah.
2017. It's all about the
2017.
New year, new me, right? That's what it's all about. That's right. It's all about being a meme.
Plenty of them going around.
Oh, man. Dude, Lord Mark Williamson, thanks heaps for sitting here having a yak with me. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Josh. And I appreciate you having me on there.
And all the best with Pacific Fight Network. As I've said, it's a bloody cool thing. I just hope people get behind it, you know.
That's it. That website as well, www.pacificfightnetwork.com.
There we go. That's the place to be January 26th. That will be where the action is.
That's it.
See what I did there?
I saw the action there, mate. Well done.
All right.
Nothing on the inside.
Yes. On that note, I think we should head to a little word from FNX.network, and then I will be back to take it home here on WRA. Thank you, Lord Mark.
Thank you.
What's going on, guys? Head Movement here. Sean Starker here from the Healthy Movement Podcast. You know, we're in a lot of different areas on the internet. You can find us all over the place. We're readily available, but one of my favorite places to listen to the Healthy Movement Podcast is on the FNX Network. Because when I'm over there, they have a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm interested in. They got a wide range of offerings from sports to lifestyle, entertainment. If you're into gaming, techs, or politics, you're looking for a good politics podcast, then certainly the FNX Network can accommodate you. Man, they've got a wide range, a little something for everybody. And with their new website format at fnx.network, it's really easy to search and find what I'm looking for. Man, I'm able to go through all the really awesome shows and even written articles by up-and-coming authors like Luke Wiskowski. Man, really, really great stuff, man. I've read so much of my sports news. It's pretty much where I get my MMA news, and thankfully so, because they're right on point. Great reporting. FNX.network really goes out of their way to make sure that their content is updated daily, that it's relevant, that it's good and engaging. It's really, the guys do a hell of a job over there. Like I say, the new website is very easy to navigate. You guys want to head over, check them out at FNX.network. I guarantee that you're going to find something that you like over there. Of course, the Healthy Movement Podcast is over, but make sure you check out guys like Shoot the Defense and have a great time. And the FNX Network, a little something for everybody over there, redefining how we get entertainment on the internet. Check them out, FNX.network. Tell them we sent you.
Thanks again, Lord Mark Williamson. And that's about it for this episode of WRA. Big thank you to Thunderstag for the theme music, Wrestle Merch Printing for sponsoring the network, and for the rad cover art. Please do support Pacific Fight Network once it does launch January 26th. That's the date. I think it's going to help the industry down here tremendously, but hey, it's going to take us getting on board and supporting it. So let's do that and show the world where the action is. My name's Josh Armour. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in a few days with Healing Out and Adam Brooks, The Loose Ledge.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. Fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yeah, well, the action is, if you want some, come and get some. Here's where the action is, but you better be ready to take some.
People come for dubs.